John W. Brawan tells this story. He says, somewhere in South America, there's an Indian tribe whose concept of the past and future seems to be exactly opposite that of ours. We refer to the past as being behind us and the future ahead of us. To this particular tribe, however, the past is thought of as being ahead of them and the future as being behind them. Now, first, this may seem very strange to us, and many will undoubtedly wonder how anyone could possibly be so foolish to think in this manner. The reasoning of these Indians, says Brawan, is quite logical. All that they have experienced, their mistakes, failures, lessons learned, etc., is considered as being in front of them, and it is there for their contemplation and betterment. The future, on the other hand, is behind them, because it has not yet been experienced. Now, speaking of the future, and let's be honest, we have been thinking about the future, these things have forced us to consider to make resolutions for the new year. And we've made our resolutions. In fact, I'm guessing that most people today have thought about ways that we will change our ways in the new year. We make resolutions regarding losing weight or working out or quitting smoking or getting closer to God through Bible study and praying. We've said that we want to quit a habit. We've said that we want to be a better spouse or friend or parent. We know resolutions because we make resolutions. Let me ask you this. Have you ever considered that our current resolutions stem from our past decisions? You see, this thinking is what challenged the aforementioned Indian tribe to change. As Brawan said, he says, all that they have experienced, this tribe, all that they've experienced, their mistakes and their failures and lessons learned is considered as being in front of them, and it is there for their contemplation and betterment. Now, we understand this because we know our past. And today, we actually are probably thinking about our past and what 2014 meant to us. Now, regarding that word resolution, that's an important word, especially with regards to the month of January. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it as, quote, the act of finding an answer or solution to a conflict or problem. It goes on to say it is the act of resolving something. Now, that something, must be assured, stems from a decision. And normally, regarding resolutions, they stem from a bad and oftentimes rash decision. Now, I will tell you that in the 2 weeks that I have missed you, I have been very active. We did a little travel. We did a lot of having fun, a lot of family events, and I will tell you that I made some mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes has to do with Sam's Club. Now, I like Sam's Club. We spend a lot of time at Sam's Club. And one of the things, I don't know if you know this, but at Sam's Club, they have a Christmas aisle. And if you've seen the Christmas, I love the Christmas aisle at Sam's Club. But the thing a lot of people don't know is Sam's Club doesn't sell everything at Christmas. They just don't. And so if you go into Sam's Club after Christmas, they have what used to be the Christmas aisle is now the discount aisle. And Sam's Club does a wonderful job at discounting. Some stores say they're having a sale. Sam's means it. And so we went to Sam's Club. This was after Christmas, and we're walking down the aisle, and they have their decorations on sale. And then they had this. This was a tin of European chocolate cookies. Now, it retails for anywhere between $21 and $25, but on this particular day, when I was walking down the Sam's Club discount aisle, it was marked down to $3.41. Now, folks, I don't know if you can see this. I'd love to pass the tin around, but frankly, I think it'd just make you hungry. But on the back, it has a description of every single European cookie that they have in there. Do not think for a moment that I did not pick up this tin and look at that and say, Junior, I feel so bad saying this. I said, every one of these cookies, I want to at least sample. So what I did is I bought the tin for $3.41 because I'm tight and because I like cookies. And I will tell you that we've eaten all the cookies. Now, with that said, the bad news is I gained 5 pounds over the holidays. And I blame Sam's Club because it's their fault. In fact, I blame Sam's Club for a lot of things, but certainly the tin of cookies is definitely their fault. All right, so here's what I'm telling you. Today, I've made a resolution. It started after I bought the tin and I felt guilty. They have a cookie in there called the Kenya. It's called the Kenya. It's a shortbread cookie with dark chocolate. It's the Kenya. The girl said, Dad, I want to try the Kenya. I said, no. No. You wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like it. So I ate the Kenyas. But I gained 5 pounds because of the Kenyas. So I made a resolution. The resolution came from a rash and bad decision. Here's what Scripture has to say about rash and bad decisions and resolutions. Listen, Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, he says, trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. He had to be talking about Sam's Club. I don't know. He says, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Now, I need to confess something to my church family, and this is the confession I'm going to give you, and that is that not at any time in the discount aisle of Sam's Club did I ever once consult, think about, or trust or even pray to God regarding that purchase of that tin of cookies. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It was a rash and bad decision. Now, Solomon knows a lot about success. He talks about it. In fact, in Proverbs 16, verse 3, he says, commit your work to the Lord, then it will succeed. You're in a new year, folks. Your resolution in this new year is to succeed in whatever it is. You might want to succeed in overcoming a habit. You might want to succeed in getting closer to Jesus Christ. You might just want to succeed and say, I want to change my life. And whatever it is, the goal would be success. Now, let me tell you that resolutions require a lot. They require a strong will. They require a lot of faith, and they require hard work. And most often, we don't have success because in most cases, resolutions just don't work. We went Friday night. Friday night's our family night. And we always go out Friday night. So Friday night, we went out for supper. And Friday night is we go out for supper, and then it's my cheat day. And so we always go out for dessert. And we go to the myriad places in Bloomington Normal that have dessert. And so, and we always ask the girls where they want to go. We always leave it up to them. And so I turn around and I said, girls, where do you want to go for dessert? And Jillian normally is the one that says, Dad, wherever you want to go is fine. Which, she's a smart girl. And so she said, but on this occasion, Jillian, she said, I want to go to Baskin Robbins. And I'll be honest with you, I was pretty excited about Baskin Robbins. And so I said, that's great. And so we went to Baskin Robbins. I walk in. It's scary when the people at Baskin Robbins know you. Pastor Chad! Pastor Chad's here! And so I told the ladies, I said, ladies, you're going to be in my sermon this week, just to let you know. And they said, what can we get you? And I said, nothing. And you should have seen their faces. I was insulted, kind of, because they were so shocked that I didn't want anything. And they said, no donut? No ice cream? I said, no, nothing at all. And they said, why? I said, because I gained 5 pounds because of Sam's Club. So I walked away from it. And the reason I did is because I knew that I had made a resolution. I made a decision. And the decision is to get healthy in the new year again. Our resolutions have to work. Now, there's a way, I think, to make them work. In fact, our sermon title for today is called A Resolution to Remember. And while the resolution part is important, we're going to be emphasizing the remembering. You see, a resolution to remember requires us to take our past experiences and remember how they affected us and impacted us, both positively, but when we're talking about a resolution, let's face it, usually it's negatively. Now, that's important because that word remember is powerful. It's oftentimes used with those powerful and memorable idioms and slogans and one-liners that you see hanging on successory posters in people's offices and things like that. And you'll find that word remember a lot because it teaches us and tells us how important that is. I have a book, I confess, I have a book of those one-liners that lead to success. And so I thought I'll share a couple of these today that have the word remember them in there. Here's one. Remember, no man is a failure who has friends. That's a nice one. I like this one. This is one of my favorites. It's good to remember that the tea kettle, although up to its neck in hot water, continues to sing. It's pretty neat. I like that one. That's good. All right, here's another one. This is my last one. One more. Don't be afraid of pressure. Remember that pressure is what turns a lump of coal into a diamond. Those are good. Now, according to these one-liners, idioms, slogans, remembering yields reward. we are encouraged to remember. In fact, this thought is conveyed in God's word, the thought of remembering. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1, 2, and 6, he says, don't let the excitement of being young cause you to forget about your Creator. Honor him in your youth before the evil years come when you'll no longer enjoy living. He says, it will be too late then to try to remember him. Yes, remember your Creator now while you were young. In Lamentations 1, verse 7, the author, presumably Jeremiah, says this, and now, in the midst of all Jerusalem's sadness, she remembers happy bygone days. Paul mentions the word remember and the rewards that come from it in 1 Corinthians 11, 2. His people's remembering what he taught them makes him glad. He talks about that. He references the reward of remembering Jesus' words, in which Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive in Acts 20, 35. Now, folks, there is a reason why we are called to remember our past, even when you may not want to. I want to look at our sermon text for today to see what it has to say. This is 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. And I want you to listen closely because Paul takes us through a journey here. Sounds like some resolutions going on, a lot of remembering. But it builds to a crescendo in verse 13. Listen closely to what it says and see if it applies to you regarding your resolutions and what we're called to remember today. Let's start with chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Paul says this. He says, for we must never forget. For we must never forget, dear brothers, what happened to our people in the wilderness long ago. God guided them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them, and he brought them all safely through the waters of the Red Sea. This might be called their baptism, baptized both in sea and cloud, as followers of Moses, their commitment to him as their leader. And by a miracle, God sent them food to eat and water to drink there in the desert, and they drank the water that Christ gave them. He was there with them as a mighty rock of spiritual refreshment. Now things turn. Listen to how Paul turns this. He says, yet after all this, most of them did not obey God, and he destroyed them in the wilderness. From this lesson, we are warned that we must not desire evil things as they did, nor worship idols as they did. The scriptures tell us the people sat down to eat and drink and then got up to dance in the worship of the golden calf. Another lesson for us is what happened when some of them sinned with other men's wives, and 23,000 fell dead in one day. And don't try the Lord's patience. They did and died from snake bites. And don't murmur against God and his dealings with you as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel to destroy them. All these things happen to them as examples, as object lessons to us, to warn us against doing the same things. They were written down so that we could read about them and learn from them in these last days as the world nears its end. So be careful. If you're thinking, oh, I would never behave like that, let this be a warning to you, for you too may fall into sin. And then we hit 13, and 13 is a powerful verse, folks. And how powerful is it? Because Paul says this. He says, but remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you, and no temptation is irresistible. And you can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against him. For his promises, and he'll do what he says. He'll show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. In verses 1 through 4 of this passage, the Apostle Paul reminds us and reminds his people of five distinct blessings that were bestowed by God. And he tells them specifically to never forget, which means to remember, these rewards. Now, here are these rewards. They are God's guidance, God's deliverance, God's provision of a leader, God's provision of manna, and God's provision of water. And folks, let's make sure we understand this. Blessings, provision, and rewards do not require resolution. If you are sitting in this church today and you say 2014 was amazing, I had great health, I had great job success, my family loves me, we've got beautiful kids, everything was perfect in 2014. Guess what? You're not making resolutions. Why? Because your life is great. There's no need to make resolutions. Those type of things make us, or should make us, rejoice. The question is, are we rejoicing? But instead of remembering and rejoicing over our blessings, we oftentimes just forget them. And we forget the one who sent them. And folks, this just leads to sin. Because when you forget about God, you forsake God. So now Paul lists five sins that come from this forgetting and forsaking. Number six, verse six, lust. Verse seven, idolatry. Verse eight, presumption. Verse nine, impatience. Verse 10, ingratitude. Now let me ask you this. What is on our list? What is on our list? You see, bad decisions and rash decisions and evil, even sinful practice results in resolution. You see, when we make mistakes, and if you look back in your 2014, you say, oh, I remember that decision. I know that decision. I'm still living and paying for that decision. And I promise you, those bad decisions, those sinful practices, will always require some kind of resolution. Now the question is, what will you do with that resolution? You see, we're not good at remembering God, and we're not good at rejoicing over the greatness of God. And if we fail to remember our Lord, then verse 11 makes it very clear that we need to recognize the lesson to experience different results. Look at verse 11. Look what he says. He says, all these things happen to them as examples, as object lessons to us, to warn us against doing the same things. They were written down so that we could read about them and learn from them in these last days as the world nears its end. And folks, here's the thing. If you remember your past, you won't have to relive your past. If you're able to remember your past, you will look at this and say that God cares about me. God doesn't want me to once again go down that sinful path. This is what God wants for us. In Exodus 13, verse 3, Moses said to his people, he said, this is a day to remember forever. The day of leaving Egypt and your slavery. For the Lord has brought you out with mighty miracles. Now the Israelites had difficulty remembering. And sadly, so do we. Jesus knew this. And this resolution still reminds us and applies to us. We are called to remember. In fact, if we read this passage, I want to read this passage. It's a passage you're familiar with. As a matter of fact, we're going to just see how familiar you are. We'll see how much you listen in church. This is one that we read normally four, five, six times a year. This is 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Listen to these words. Paul says, for this is what the Lord himself has said about his table, and I have passed it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed him, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat this. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is new agreement between God and you that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you're retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again. Now, why would Jesus say, I need you to remember this? That was a tragic time. That was a time before Jesus' crucifixion. Why would we remember this? And we remember this because he says, I want you to know how much I love you. I want you to know what I did for you. And that's why I did this. And if you remember this, you'll remember how much I love you. You'll remember how much God cares about you. You'll remember the plan I have for you. And it will change your life, and it will bring you closer to me in all that you do. And this is exactly why Jesus wanted us to remember. You see, this is a reminder from our Savior. And this was and is an example to be exemplified, a lesson in godly love. And so often regarding our resolutions, we try to forget our past. But it's clear that we are to remember our past long enough so that we can learn from our past well enough so we don't relive our past. and sin and forsake God's blessings and his rewards for each and every one of us. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he says, "No, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but I am bringing all of my energies to bear on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Now, I know what you're thinking. I know you've got to be thinking, "Oh, wait a second. That's Paul saying that. What, Paul, that refutes what Paul said. Paul's saying to forget the past." And that's not what he's saying. What Paul's saying is this. In fact, if you look in your NIV, if you've got a little footnote section in your NIV, look at NIV passage for that Philippians 3:13, and I'll tell you exactly what it says. The footnote says this. It says that Paul was not losing all memory. It says Paul was just simply wanting to move on. You see, we're called to remember our past so we won't relive it. Folks, we're called to learn from our past, not live in it. And that means that we'll move on from it. And that means that when you look back on 2014, you're going to learn from it. And that means with every mistake that you made, every situation and bad decision that you made, you'll look back on it, you'll remember it, but you'll say, "I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be a part. I don't want to redo it." And in 2014, on December 28th, when I walked through the discount aisle at Sam's, I'll remember this 10. I'll remember the fact that I felt terrible. I'll remember the fact that I gained 5 pounds. And I assure you this, even if it's $3.01, I won't buy the same 10. Kenyas. Will our resolutions allow us to remember our past so that we can be ready and prepared for our future? Look at verse 13. "But remember this," Paul says, "just remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different." Now here's the news. It's not good news, but it's news. The news is you're going to have wrong desires come into your life in 2015. They'll come. They will come. I assure you, they will come. Baskin Robbins just came out with a new flavor of ice cream. It's a cake. It's called confetti cake something. Jillian was so excited. But here's what they did. Baskin Robbins ramped it up. They wasn't enough to have ice cream. Now they make Oreo ice cream sandwiches. They take two large Oreos. I mean, these things are like discs. And they stuff the. I was watching the girls do it. It was great. I said, "Jillian, you want one of these?" And she said, "Uh-huh." And I said, "All right." I said, "Ladies, we're going to do the Oreo ice cream sandwich." And they said, the young girl there at the store said, "I don't know how to make it." I said, "I do. Here, bring it over here. I'll show you." So she's smashing it down. I'm looking at Jillian's eyes like, "Woo!" And Jillian's eating this new ice cream with the Oreo cookies. And I'm thinking to myself, just ask me, sweetie. Just one bite. That's all I want. She never did. And but I was refereeing eating that sandwich. I remember my dad used to do that. Man, apple is not falling far from the tree. But anyway, so you're going to get desires. You're going to get temptations. They're going to come. They will be there. And they may feel like what you experienced in 2014. But he says, listen, he says, many others have faced exactly the same problems and before you. And no, here it is, and no temptation is irresistible. No temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it, for his promises, he'll do what he says. And let me tell you how you're going to do it, because you're going to remember the past. You're just not going to live in it. You're going to remember the bad and rash decision, but you won't redo it. And he says this. He says, he'll show you how, for his promises, he'll do what he says. He'll show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. Your temptations are going to come. Remembrance will yield readiness. And you're going to ask yourself this: why did I fall? How did I fall? When did I fall? And you won't fall when you trust in Jesus and you lean on Jesus to help you remember your past, just not relive it. God wants our future to be centered on and around his Son and our Savior. Paul spent a great deal of time in Romans 6 talking about our new life in Christ and our abandoned old life of sin. John uses those same words, new life, in 1 John 3:9. Paul says in our sermon text, verse 12, that even believers can fall back into sin. And we see this here as well. And that's why the lesson examples are reminders that are offered in verses 6 through 10 by Paul, so that we won't repeat history. We'll just remember it. We can't underestimate the importance of remembering. And sadly and too often, we undervalue the ability and the opportunity that God gives us to remember. An 80-year-old couple were having problems remembering things. So they decided to go to their doctor to get checked out to make sure nothing was wrong with them. And when they arrived, they explained to the doctor about the problems they were having with their memory. After checking the couple out, the doctor told them they were physically okay, but they might want to start writing things down and making notes to help them remember things. The couple thanked the doctor and left. Later that night, while watching TV, the man got up from his chair, and his wife asked, "Where are you going?" He replied, "To the kitchen." She asked, "Will you get me a bowl of ice cream?" He replied, "Sure." She then asked him, "Don't you think you should write it down so you can remember it?" He said, "No, I can remember that." She then said, "Well, I would also like some strawberries on top. You better write that down so you won't forget that." He said, "I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries?" She replied, "Well, I'd also like some whipped cream on top. And I know you'll forget that, so you better write it down." With irritation in his voice, he said, "I don't need to write that down. I can remember that." He then fumes into the kitchen. After about 20 minutes, he returned from the kitchen and handed her a plate of bacon and eggs. She stared at the plate for a moment and said angrily, "I told you to write it down. You forgot my toast." We're there right now, just to let you know. Cam and I are there. Oh, man. Ugh. Don't underestimate the importance of remembering. There's our lesson. Does your resolution stem from sin or from a bad or rash decision? A new year means a new life with Christ. Let us commit today to change our ways and to trust in Jesus Christ to keep us from losing our way as we remember how he overcame temptation and crucifixion to show us the way to a future eternity with him. Remember the past. Learn from the past. Just don't live in it. And trust in God to help you with your resolutions so you can move past it. And with this new year, you can succeed in it. Let's stand and close. Hymn number 488, "Just As I Am." Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe that resolution is this: I want to know Jesus. I want to start my life over in this new year with Jesus. Or if you say, "I've struggled and I've strayed," come forward. We'll pray with you. Our board members will come up and pray with you, and we will talk to you at the altar as we talk with God. Let's sing. Well, folks, we're going to do something a little bit different this year, and I don't do these very often, but we're going to do this. As a matter of fact, starting next week, I'm going to be hosting a sermon series. It's going to be a wild ride, and it's certainly going to be a sermon series that I think you're going to enjoy. It will make you squirm, it will make you sweat, and it will make you uncomfortable. And I encourage us to do this. Welcome the discomfort. Folks, this ain't a country club. It just isn't. Christianity is not supposed to be an easy ride. If you think, well, that's what it's supposed to be, you're not reading the same book I am. Because Jesus did not have an easy way of it, but I will tell you this, Jesus accomplished a lot in his life, and we're called to do the same thing. And sometimes that means struggle, and sometimes that means it will be uncomfortable, and I pray that we as a church in this new year will say, "I'm ready to take on those struggles, and I'm ready to just feel a little bit uncomfortable." So we're going to do a sermon series. I don't know how long it's going to go. God knows, and I'll let him direct it, but I do know this. I think it's going to be fascinating. I think it's going to be very, very educational, and I am looking extremely forward to it. I hope you are too, and I think we're all going to grow from it. And with that, I encourage you all, as you embark on this new year, you've got your resolutions made. Now you're ready to roll. Remember this: your past is important. Whatever you do, remember it. Just don't relive it if you've made a resolution regarding it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we know that you have your best interests at mind. And I pray today that we will lean on this and we will trust you in this. We know and understand what's going on in our world today. We know that there are going to be struggles. We know that you are putting this church and the individuals in it on the front line of combating sin, of calling out the things that are wrong in our world, and of showing Jesus Christ to everyone in our world. That means we got to live like your son. And we know that'll be uncomfortable, and we know that there are going to be times we're not going to want to do it. But I pray that you'll empower us to do it. You have trusted us with so much, but especially today, to be Christ-like in all that we do every day. And I pray that we will not disappoint you in this task. Thank you for what you've blessed us with. Thank you for giving us so much. And now I pray that we will embrace this relationship with you. It's more than religion. This is all about a relationship with you in the new year. Thank you for all that you give us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.